been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. That means you're talking about the Kings of the North. The Ravens are the AFC North champions, and the North is not enough. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Like I said, the Ravens are the Kings of the North. I want to say the Kings of the North Pole because it is right around Christmas time. I don't remember the last time that the Ravens clinched so early, but this team has been dominant. And joining me, as always, to talk all about it, he wrote in on that mixed reality 50-foot Raven that I saw online. That seems crazy. But my buddy Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, Kings of the North, as you said, North Pole. I think you got your wish because I saw the cover photo of The Call Facebook, Kings of the North Pole.
That's right. We got to give a shout-out to...
We did that for us.
We got to do a shout-out to my buddy Josh Brinkley, Two Life Concepts. You can check him out on Facebook. It was kind of funny. It was right after we did the show, and he was about to sit down to watch the game on Thursday. And I was like, man, you ought to do something. Kings of the North Pole. What can you come up with? And he was like, you know what? I got an idea. And just throughout the Jets Ravens game, he kind of like, you know, brought this Raven character to life. So it was pretty cool.
Like I want the animated one.
Yeah. Just like the animated one. So let's talk a little bit about the Ravens Jets game. It was almost a week ago.
Brandon.
What's up?
Brandon, before we get to the Jets game, I want to treat our fans to a treat here, right?
I'm a little scared.
What happened on Thursday?
The Ravens beat the Jets soundly.
Well, that's true, but something else happened for the third time this year.
What's that?
We had another Jackson 5. and with that, we're going to have some call karaoke. You ready, Brandon?
Oh, God, I'm worried.
Come on. Come on, sing it, Brandon.
ABC.
Easy as one,
Lamar,
two, three.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar makes it easy as one, two, three, doesn't he?
He does. He makes it.
There you go.
One, two, three. Yeah.
Getting it party on with Jackson 5. I'm telling you what, man. Who'd expect another Jackson 5? And what we mean by that, another 5 spot from Lamar. He threw 5 more touchdowns on Thursday night. It just seems like when the lights go up, he just shines brighter. It's just, I mean, he's already, even if when it's a 1 o'clock game and the sun's out, you know, he still shines bright. But
does that, he's got to put his shades on. His future's so
exactly.
bright.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, he might as well just put him on at the nighttime. But what a performance on Thursday Night Football against the Jets. I know everybody had some fun with this one. Oh, trap game and short week and thigh injury and all that, limited in practice. It didn't really matter because, boy, did we just put pedal to the metal and took a division crown. Like, and you said something in about clinching, and this is the earliest. It's only about 1 week because in 2012, the Ravens actually clinched in week 16. So, mm-hmm. The Ravens have their knack for waiting until near the end. And obviously so with what our division means in AFC North. But the Ravens did clinch in week 15 of this year. Another home clincher against a formidable opponent in the Jets. I say that lightly. And what a time to be in Baltimore for the celebration on Thursday nights under lights. It was fantastic.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about what it was like on Thursday night. You were live. It was a cold game, I'm sure, but I'm sure you partied beforehand. I'm sure you had a great time in the stands. And you got to tell me what happened with this 50-foot Raven, because I had a buddy say like he like jumped out of his skin because this call went off he wasn't expecting, and then you look at the screen and there's this giant Raven swooping into the stadium. So tell us all about Thursday night.
Oh, yeah, that was a special treat. So I got an email from the Ravens, usually because I'm the PSL owner. they send us an email, kind of like the itinerary of the game, like, you know, who's doing the national anthem, if there's going to be flyover, what color jerseys they're wearing, all that. And then the halftime show and performance. Then they actually mentioned that this game, they're going to unveil this, like, to life 3D animation type thing. I didn't know what to expect. I heard about the technology. I've seen it done before, but I didn't know what they were talking about. And what I thought it was is the Dallas Cowboys actually do something similar, but it's in their fan concourse. So if you're not familiar with it, Brandon, look it up. It's pretty cool. So what the Dallas Cowboys do with this kind of animation is they allow fans to go into like this sort of photo booth, and they kind of have like the Cowboys old legends like Aikman, Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and all that like come to life and kind of like that 3D kind of realm. And then you can, it's almost like you take a picture with the squad like that. So it was pretty unique. So I didn't know what to expect. So, and I got a different viewpoint because I was in the stadium. Apparently online, it looked way, way cooler. Obviously being in person, it was kind of crazy. No, I didn't really see it on the field. They showed it on the Jumbotron, but my whole row kind of equated to when you mentioned like Kings of the North and all that and all that. Everybody kept saying that Raven reminded them of Game of Thrones. Like, but I'm going to tell you what, the screech was loud. It was calling. It was like very awesome. So like the animation, it looked like the Raven really came in from like the corner of the end zone, like out in the sky from where the corner scoreboards are. And then the one defense, it came to rest on the goalpost and it was like screeching, but like you're looking at it live and I'm like, there's nothing there, right? But then you look on the gym, we're trying to see this like big Raven, but it was all like live footage. Like the fans were there. It wasn't like a picture or anything. It was pretty cool. And then like you saw online when the Raven's flying around the stadium, like you see the shadow of the Raven. Like, I don't know how they did that, but they need to keep this as a part. I know everybody was stoked. I heard nothing but rave reviews, pun intended on that. So I just, again, just another reason why we love this franchise so much. They come away, and I know it's I wouldn't say it's a ploy, right? But it's another thing to attract fans to the games. I know with the home experience and all that lately, it's another thing to really see come to life and to truly see it in person. And hear it, the sound effects, it was awesome. And it just pumped us up even more. Not that we needed it, right? But, dude, it was awesome. And I hope you get there one day to see it. I'm hoping to keep it around. I don't know if this was a one-time shot, but I don't think it would be.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of, when I saw it online, I thought it was a cool idea. It kind of reminded me of WWE when they have their special events like the Rumble or WrestleMania. They'll do like 3D graphics as somebody's coming out to the ring, either like Brock Lesnar's tattoo or Asuka's masks or whatever. So they're not really there, but you see them on TV. But yeah, I kind of heard mixed reviews about it. I thought it looked pretty cool just from an outsider looking in. But really, you didn't need that 50-foot Raven because the Ravens looked 50 feet tall themselves, because these guys came in confident. They came in hard-hitting. And we saw RG3 again, which was I don't know if it was surprising, but we're seeing Lamar come out of these games so often now. It's kind of become second nature. So the Ravens did what they had to do on Thursday. They claimed the North. They landed the Jets. Everything kind of came.
You got to say the North. You got to have that little accent.
They claimed the North.
That's it. See? Yeah, you're getting it. Love it. Now you need a tape.
Yeah, so, I mean, but...
You borrow my Batman mask while you're at it.
Swear to me.
Yeah, Peter North, swear to me.
But this was a great game. I'm usually not a fan of the Thursday night games because I don't like doing the short week to the team. I want to give them the full week to rest up, but it's kind of like a mini bye week at this point. But still, if you're a Ravens fan, this was a great game to watch.
Dude, it was... From start to finish, did we have any doubt? I mean, they just took three straight possessions and went right down. Now, I will tell you this. Obviously, for me, I started to get a little bit shaky here when it was 13-7. Obviously, we should have been 14. Tucker missed another extra point. That was uncharacteristic.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, was that the same side or the same end that you've been talking about where he missed the last two, the one from last year and the one earlier?
Yeah, I told you. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's something about that end. It's like that's why I felt more confident. I didn't want to say this during the games, I didn't want to jinx it, but when we kicked the game winner against San Fran, I was more confident that was in the opposite. If it was in it, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, Brandon, but it's in my end of the stadium.
Oh, really?
But Yeah, it is. So it's kind of weird because anything coming towards me, that's exactly the same field or the same side of the field where he missed the extra point against the Saints to send it overtime. That is the same one where he missed and earlier this year, and they also missed the extra point there. So I'm telling you, there's something about that corner that I hope the Ravens have caught on to this. Maybe, when they defer or wherever they receive and pick a side of field, I'm hoping in the fourth quarter they point teams in that direction. But it just wasn't uncharacteristic of them. But, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Is it because of these new corner screens, do you think, that is affecting the wind coming into the stadium? What's new from last year and this year?
Well, I mean, it could be, right, because we were talking about that, but the wind was always swirling beyond that. It might affect it a little bit more. I thought it would block it because, you know, that's the corner where obviously the wind, it kind of like funnels downward. But I feel like no matter what, now there's probably a swirling effect. But it's like, but the stadium, if you look at it, I'm going to use some mathematic tactics here, but it's perfect symmetry if you break it down the middle, right, because you know, the stadium is exactly the same on the left and the right. You have the scoreboards at both ends, so I don't know why that end's trickier than not. Maybe because it's, you know, where it's positioned geographically, where the wind catches in the stadium. I don't know. I would love to find out, but there's something to it that end. But I reverting back to it, I was a little shaky when the Jets pulled it 13-7, and I almost couldn't get mad at the play. You know, before, they should have had the touchdown. Crowder dropped a flat-out wide-open touchdown, and then Darnold comes right back with the same play, but a lot harder throw, and he put it in that window, and that almost looked like how Santonio Holmes beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl. It was like that, you know, leaning over the corner of the end zone sideline kind of catch, and I even said in the stands, I said, I can't get mad at that. I saw the play right in front of me. It was one to behold, and I'm like, wow, I mean, he made a great play. I wasn't that applauding the play because obviously it pulled them within six, but after that, it was just game on. I mean, the Ravens scored three touchdowns on the first three possessions. The game was never really in doubt after that. That was 35-7 at one point. While we're on the call, we have breaking news. Pro Bowlers have been released.
Oh, okay.
Remember the old record was eight. They had eight three separate times. You ready?
All right.
I'm counting them. 2, 4, 6. Wow, 12 Pro Bowlers, Brandon.
What?
This whole team, 12 Pro. We have Jackson, obviously unanimous. Ingram, Yanda, Andrews, Ricard, Stanley, that's 6. Peters, Humphrey, Earl Thomas, Judon, Tucker, and Morgan Cox.
Holy cow.
We have a squad. And how about that? And kudos to Lamar Jackson, who led all Pro Bowl votes, all of them. He beat everybody in the league. The Pro Bowl, here's the top five vote-getters. Lamar had 704,699, obviously. I'm not sure if that's the final count, but that's what I saw. Russell Wilson was next in line with 539,768. And then Patrick Mahomes was number three. Last year's MVP, who probably was the leader last year. Patrick Mahomes only had 468,000, a little over 460,000 votes. Number four was Dalvin Cook at 431 and change. And Christian McCaffrey, number five at 406. So obviously we have three quarterbacks, two running backs. Lamar led everybody. And we have a slew of Pro Bowlers, man. How about that? Congrats on that. I was hoping it would be released tonight. I wasn't sure what time, but breaking news on the call as we record. Awesome, awesome. Kudos to that. They deserve it. I mean, the Ravens have just balled out this year. 12-2, 10-game winning streak, countless record franchise records. I mean, what more can we do? And this is just, oh, my God, I'm just so excited for these guys. And, Brandon, we want to honor these guys when we can, but we hope they're not playing in it because we have aspirations for what Lamar always brings up. He wants to get to the Super Bowl. And, hey, the Pro Bowl was the week before. It's great to get the accolades and the recognition, but let's just hope our squad isn't playing in that bowl in Orlando. And we want to go a little bit south in the same state. We want to play in the other bowl in the state of Florida. And how about Super Bowl 54 in Miami? How's that, Sam?
Oh, my God. I still can't get over 12 guys. That is just absolutely amazing. Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, Marshall Yanda, Mark Andrews, Patrick Ricard, Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, Earl Thomas, Justin Tucker, Marlon Humphrey, Matthew Judon, Morgan Cox. all fantastic gets. That is definitely a Pro Bowl team. But 12, that is insane.
Yep, dude, I couldn't agree with you more. And I do have to put this out. I'm putting out a live tweet and Facebook post just to celebrate it. Dude, 12. I thought they were going to rival it, maybe even tie 8, maybe 9. But just there's some names on there that I expected, but there's some names that I'm like, I'm happy that's on there. Like, how about Morgan Cox getting on there?
Morgan Cox, where
Did he stand? Look for the Wolfpack. Where's number 13? Oh, you got to put the Wolfpack in there.
That's true.
I mean, Sam Cook's been one of the awesomest punters I could ever remember.
I mean, you got to play, I guess, to get on the to get it on the Pro Bowl. You have to actually be on the field for a little bit.
Oh, that's right. Maybe he's not, because we just keep scoring touchdowns this year.
So besides Lamar Jackson, who we figured was going to be a shoo-in for the Pro Bowl, who do you think of these 12 is the most deserving to be there? That's a tough one, I know.
It is. It's easy to say Lamar, and I'm not going to go there. I'm going to give it a rest there, because, I mean, it's easy, right? He is a leading vote-getter, but who's really deserving to be there? I'm going to call my boy Pat Ricard out. Why? Because the guy's a jack of all trades. He got a contract extension earlier this season, in the middle of the season, rather, and couldn't be more happier for him. Actually, I'm going to tandem it. Ricard and Cox. I mean, you know, everybody has had an awesome year, but just saying Pat Ricard, he plays fullback when the position is really fading. He's laid it as a defensive end. He plays defense. I've seen him there on special teams as well. He's in there wrecking it. I mean, he's asked to do the coach is asking him to do something, and he does it. That's my kind of player, because that's kind of how I'm at my job is. You know, I'm kind of like well-rounded in the fact that, like, I'll volunteer. Hey, I want to learn a diverse number of things so I can be called upon to, you know, kind of make myself marketable. And that's what Pat Ricard is doing for the Ravens. And it kind of fills that 3-4 guys in one player, you know, where we have a 53-man roster. Sometimes it's hard to find that. He's an ultra talent everywhere. So I certainly want to tip my hat to Pat Ricard and Brandon. I also want to, you know, obviously go there too, because, you know, well, this being the, and thank you very much for getting, you know, got the cameo for me for my birthday. And unfortunately, I had to work this past weekend for year end. So I missed. He was actually right up the road from me doing an autograph signing. So my intent was to show up as Batman and say, here I am. But I was pretty upset that, I mean, I volunteered the work, so I can't be that upset. But it just didn't work out that way. But I'm sure now that he's still Raven for the next few years, I'm sure another opportunity will come up where we can make it happen.
Yeah, but, dude, I'm sure. And
what name stands out to you on this one a little bit?
I got a favorite player. I wear his jersey. I'm so excited to see Ronnie Stanley as a Pro Bowler. I think that's 100% deserved. He has done absolutely fantastic. I'm trying to find the stat right now. This is pretty impressive. So through week 13, Ronnie Stanley has performed at a level similar to the great Jonathan Ogden's 2006 season. So, I mean, if you look at these two guys in between 13 weeks, a pressure rate allowed, Ronnie Stanley's at 1.3%. Jonathan Ogden was at 1.2. Pass blocking efficiency, Ronnie Stanley is 99.4. Jonathan Ogden was 99.2. Pass blocking grade, 92.3 from Ronnie, 93.5 from Jonathan Ogden. So this guy has the potential of being a Hall of Famer and one of the greats for the Ravens if he can stick around. I'm so excited that he's a Pro Bowler. I don't want to see him in the Pro Bowl, but I'm very excited he gets the honor of being called a Pro Bowler.
Absolutely, man. I mean, again, you know, he's having a banner year. Couldn't, and even so, just listen to the depth of our team. My concern, and I said it on the show, I said it to fans in the stands before kickoff. My only concern for Thursday night was James Hurst being in there with Ronnie Stanley being out, and I felt like, no, it's kind of funny how it happens. I mean, yeah, Ronnie Stanley's just playing out of his mind like everybody else is, Lamar included and everybody, but it just shows you that, you know, yeah, I might say, no, I'm not going to go as far as say we didn't miss him. That's not my goal here. I'm just saying, how crazy is it that, you know, he's playing such a high level that we can actually ball out without him, so we just that much better with him. So it just show you the depth of this team, and you know, it's almost like, hey, nothing shakes us at this point. And, dude, you're right. He's throwing out all his numbers out there, and he's actually anchoring the other side where Yanda. Now, Yanda's going to be a Hall of Famer, and I know Lamar was vocal about that. where Jan was being interviewed and Lamar in the background was yelling "Gold Jacket" in the background. So we know that, obviously we know about, we'll get to another Hall of Famer here is on another team later in the show. But the Ravens probably have another two or three slew of Hall of Famers pending, and probably Justin Tucker's in that conversation. You can make a case for which, he's the best kicker in NFL history right now. So, hey, if you're the best in history, you got to make a claim for Canton, right? So could be yet another kicker in there, joining a handful of kickers that are only in the NFL Hall of Fame right now. So, dude, kudos to the 2019 Pro Bowlers, whether they do play in the game or not. 12 is an honor, and that record will still stand as a franchise record. They beat it by 4. Like I said, there was 8 three separate times, and the most recently was 2011, the year before the Super Bowl. We had 8, and we also in 2003 had 8 players, and also in 2006. And here's another thing, Brandon. The Ravens have 2 games to play. And then we'll get to week 17 when we can, right? We don't know what's going to happen with resting starters and whatnot. But the Ravens' best ever record was 13-3 in 2006. We had a second seed, lost the divisional game at home against the Colts, who were an eventual Super Bowl champion that year against the Bears. We know, and that game was played in Miami. So just looking at the scope of things, I couldn't be more proud of this team, more proud of this franchise. Lamar leading the way. Leading Pro Bowl vote getter, the leader of the team, Ingram, well deserving. Judon having a monster career, contract year, remains to be seen. And that's another conversation from another day. Remains to be seen if Judon's going to stay on board. Yonda, Stanley anchoring it. Earl Thomas, well deserving as well. I'm not saying nobody doesn't deserve to be on the list, but maybe of the 12, Earl Thomas has had the quietest year, maybe because defenses are shying away from for that respect factor. He's had a few picks there. He's had a couple. I think he got knocked his first career sack, I think, this year with us, if my memory serves correct, because he's not a blitzer. And again, Earl Thomas has actually been a very formidable safety force in filling that void left, with Weddle going out, leaving for another team. And then also Tony Jefferson and Tavon Young. So with our corners and safeties, there are secondaries bolstering that, well deserving. All 12 deserve a round of applause and high fives. But as we want to say, this team has other goals in mind for another Super Bowl, or another bowl in mind is the Super Bowl. But well deserving 12. I can't believe that of the Ravens 53-man roster, 12 are going to the Pro Bowl. Wow. I mean, what's that say about the franchise? We're having a great year, and that just shows it all. 12.
Yeah. So wow. That is they are – that ties an NFL record. And Orlando Brown Jr. and Sam Cook are alternates. So if somebody were to drop out there, those two guys, there's a chance they could go. So really wild, absolutely crazy. 12 Pro Bowlers. That is absolutely amazing. So congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens. Well deserved. So
that's big trust right there.
That is. So let's move on from the Thursday game. Let's move on from the Pro Bowl. Let's talk a little bit about the Browns coming up. This is interesting. The Ravens have not lost since that Browns game. A lot of people think that game may have awakened the beast that is the Baltimore Ravens right now, because that was a pretty sloppy game. It looks like they kind of took the day off, and it woke them up a little bit, and they've been kind of hungry and fighting for everything. That game changed our defense for the better, 100%. But let's talk about it, Josh. How is the Browns team, how are the Ravens different than who they were, just a couple weeks ago? September? Late September when they met the first time.
September 29th, looking at the schedule. Ravens have not lost a football game since September 29th.
Do you realize the Ravens, the last team in Baltimore to lose a game is the Baltimore Orioles?
That's a great stat. I did read that somewhere. Glad you brought that up. And how crazy is that?
Yes.
And also, within that time frame, I turned a year older. What else happened? I mean, it's almost like you can make a joke about it. Like, oh, this day in history or this time span in history since the Ravens last lost the game. The Orioles are the last team in Baltimore to lose. It's just crazy to think about that. That's how long ago, because obviously the Orioles were still playing in late September. That was the last weekend of the MLB season that weekend. So, wow. How crazy is that? As the closeout September in the baseball season, the Orioles last lost the game, and that's also the time that the Ravens. So that means that going back in the Orioles schedule, they must have lost on September 30th. Then
had to
maybe
have.
the Monday after, or maybe later. I have to go back in the schedule and look at what time the game was. But wow, interesting stat. That's nice for trivia. Didn't know that until I read it, and then obviously brought it back up. So thanks for that. I just feel like, now to get back to your point, it's totally two different teams. I mean, I hate it when people keep bringing up this game. Why? Because, they beat us, and I get that. But you realize that since then, Lamar's been on a tear. He's become league MVP. Obviously, we have 12 Pro Bowlers to prove that. The Ravens have been on a 10-game winning streak, haven't lost since then. And meanwhile, the Browns have lost four straight in that meanwhile. And they lost to the lowly Arizona Cardinals, who just put it to them in a beatdown. So I don't know, man. I mean, you can tell me all you want about who's got the better players and ready receivers. I mean, I know on paper they were dubbed the paper AFC North champs and the paper Super Bowl champs, but unfortunately this isn't paper football. It's real football, and the Ravens are the kings of the North. So I thought, I don't know what you read in the offseason, but I thought the Browns were supposed to win the North. And if it wasn't the Browns, it was going to be the Steelers. And neither one of them. It's actually the Baltimore Ravens repeat as champs. So, totally two different squads. I mean, the only constant it's been for the Browns has been Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is in the top five in league rushing. He might be, I don't know if he's a leading rusher in the NFL, but he's about near close to it. So Nick Chubb actually put it on us with a 3-touchdown performance. That's another thing. But also, we put on a running clinic as well. So I feel like the only constant with the Browns, other than losing, has been Nick Chubb. And we'll leave it at that. But, I know a lot of things have transpired since then, and with egos and players wanting to get out and coaching woes and losing here and there, and the Ravens just keep winning. And the Ravens, not only that, but they've added players and added value to their franchise. They've added the ranks of Josh Bynes, LJ Ford. Now all the players have become stronger in their play and stepping up. Lamar is playing out of his world, out of his mind, and quite a leader himself. And the Ravens have just found their footing and confidence every single week and shown it's not a fluke. And they've shown that game, you're right, it's almost like that just set a fire to them and said, you know what, that left a bad taste in our mouth in front of our home crowd. And Brandon, the Ravens, after that performance, that was the second loss in a row, and that's the second game where they let up, I think, 500 total yards of offense. It was atrocious. And then we weren't even going to be talking Super Bowl, Pro Bowls, or any bowls. Other than crying in cereal bowls on the Monday morning, because it was like, what gives? And then all of a sudden, a switch got flipped, and here are your brand new Baltimore Ravens. 10 weeks later? I mean, it's just unreal, unreal. Can't ain't nothing really to say about that. It's just unreal.
Now, of course, with all of the success that the Ravens are having this season, like you said, losing to the Cleveland Browns in September and then going on a tear since then, 12 Pro Bowlers now, there's a giant, giant target on the back of the Baltimore Ravens. These last two teams, I mean, you've got the Browns, you've got the Steelers, two huge rivals of the Baltimore Ravens and the AFC North. These two teams are not going to roll over against the Ravens. I can tell you that much. These two teams still are out to prove something. There is a giant target on the back of the Ravens, and they want to play spoilers. The Browns, the Steelers, they want to play spoilers. They want to mess with the Ravens' season, no doubt about it. If the Ravens were to come out and beat Cleveland this Sunday, that would lock up their AFC number one spot. So the Steelers game wouldn't really mean a lot, but Cleveland is not going to be the team to just kind of go like, just let them have this one. They're going to come out swinging. They want to win. Whether or not they can do it is another story, but this is not going to be an easy Sunday. This is not going to be the Sunday before Christmas and you take your you put your feet up and drink some eggnog because there's nothing going on. This one's going to be a battle. There's no doubt in my mind. It's going to be a tough win, but I think the Ravens have it in them. But the Browns, they're going to want to come out and show that last year, or that earlier this year, wasn't a fluke, and last year was.
I mean, it's your classic rivalry game, right? I'm not going to go as far as say this is a trap game. I think it's far from it, just given the nature of what's happened in the last 10 weeks and just what happened last week to the Browns and really looking at that. I know you can only take your last match up and it's different opponents, right? But I just don't feel like it's going to be close. I mean, the Ravens are favored by 10 for a reason. I really feel like this is going to be another curb stomp. I think the Ravens, with knowing that again, the motivation of they came in our house and put 40 up, and again, it was 40-18. Lamar got a garbage time touchdown to Willie Sneed late in the fourth quarter. So really, the game wasn't even that close. 40-25 was ultimately a 15-point defeat, but it was a lot worse than what it was. It was 40-18 at one point. So they beat us as bad as we've been beating opponents in the last 10 weeks. So, looking back at that, the Ravens, I think, learned from that. They became more disciplined. And I feel like the Ravens, they have this on their side, right? I understand the Browns, they want to prove it to the Ravens that it wasn't a fluke and they want to, do it again in their house. And this is their it. I mean, this is all they got to play for. And, hey, what better than to prevent us from, claiming the number one overall seed in their house, right? We got our own goals. But I feel like with the Ravens, the way they're playing, the way they're running the ball, just the way everything's going for them, I think they go up there and it's a all business trip. I think they go up there. I can see it just being just like every other game, just like the Jets and everything before that. They go up there, go up 7, 10, 14, nothing, go to work on Baker. And by halftime, it's 27-7. And you're like, okay, we got to play one more half and get out of town. And the Browns want to end our season. They want to, do it well. And you have to worry about, the play of the Ravens in that game. I mean, everybody's worried about this, worried about that. I'm actually just worried about getting out healthy and getting on to the number one seed. I mean, the Browns are going to give us everything, and they got every right to, right? It's your classic rival division game. I don't think it's going to be close. You can look at these rivalry games and these division games, and, oh, it's going to be another 3 or 7 point game. I think just like how they trounced on us here, I think we're just going to get up out often early. And Brandon, think about this. What did the Cardinals do just this past weekend to him? Kenyon Drake had a banner game. What did he do? 130 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. you're talking about the Browns, who played the Cardinals, who have a worse record, have nothing to play for, and ultimately let the Cardinals run up and down on the field. And if you let the Cardinals do that, who really aren't all that, when it comes to run the football or record-wise or even going anywhere this year, what do you think the number one rushing offense is going to do is 110 straight? We're averaging 200 yards on the ground with Lamar, Ingram, Gus, and Justice Hill. What do you think we're going to do to them? I mean, I know they got Nick Chubb and the running game the last couple games apart from the Jets game. There was Singletary, and then before that, Mostert was giving us problems around the edge, right? And I feel like the Ravens, all they have to do is stop Chubb. And all we have to do is just run all over them. And it just shows that they don't care. It just shows you that, the lack of effort, I guess, on their part. If they can't stop Kenyon Drake, what do you think Lamar and Mark Ingram and company are going to do? They're going to show their almighty power in the running game. I just don't feel like this is going to be a totally different game. And, yeah, it's their house. But, Brandon, how crazy and how awesome would this feel? Since they're the team that last handed us a loss this year, we go in their house. The old or the new Browns go into Cleveland, where we can essentially spawn from. They got their team back, all the woes and losing and all that. And how about we go in there and for the first time ever claim the number one overall seed? And the road to Miami, Florida, Super Bowl 54 runs through Charm City for the first time ever. And I think we're going to stake our claim. And I don't want to get in scenarios, man, but If the Ravens were to somehow get swept by the Browns, I know it's crazy, but then you bring in a scenario where you're pressure packed, win against your other dangerous formidable opponent in the Pittsburgh Steelers at home to claim home field. So we got 2 games to do it. The Ravens win one of the next 2. They're home field throughout, and I mean they can get some help if they were faltered. But again, the way they're playing, we can talk about all we want. Odell Beckham, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, I really think this is not going to be a close contest. And I feel like the Ravens know what's at stake. They're going to go up there, be the consistent team. And you know what? Another thing that boots the Ravens in their favor, they got out to a lead early. They rested starters early on Thursday. RG3 came in the game, and they played over – they'll be playing this game over 10 days again. So they had the mini bye week. Just everything sets up for the Ravens. They're getting rested. They're getting healthier, going this road trip, and it's all business.
Oh, man, it's going to be a fun one to watch. It definitely is. I can't wait. Hopefully Santa's going to bring us all a Ravens win and a Ravens AFC number one seed. That's what I want to see. So,
well, it's 3 weeks of goals, right? You know, they had to win. It's crazy how you look at the last few scenarios, right? So you look at the schedule. You're like, okay, so the Ravens, what'd they do? You know, they punched their ticket against Bills. They went against the Bills. The P word's off. Okay, we're in the party. We're in the postseason. We're in the playoffs. We don't know about seeding, but they're in no matter what. They could lose the rest of the way and still make the playoffs no matter what. So then what they do? Okay, the next game. Okay, step one, they got to the playoffs, but they're not done there. Like you said, it ain't enough, like on the beginning of the show, right? The North, it's not enough. So what they do? They welcome the Jets here and just clean their clocks out, send them packing. And the Ravens claimed an AAC North crown in 2 games in 4 days and didn't show signs of slowing down. You're talking about a short week. Lamar banged up thigh and everything and limited walkthrough practice. What do you do? Just throw five nice touchdowns for us. That's all he did. With another rating above 130. That's all he did. Just cruised on to a win. And then you got 10 days to prepare for a divisional opponent who left a bad taste in your mouth. Then what's next? This is 3 weeks of goals in a row. Then you have it all in front of you. You have a chance to say, you know what? We're not going to Gillette in January. We're not going to Arrowhead in January. You know what? They're coming to us, and we're going to get ruckus. And the Ravens know what's at stake, and I think this is week three of another win in a row. It's the 11th win in a row. And I feel like this is it. This is 3 weeks straight of goals met, and I think they get it here. I don't think so. I know they're going to get it here.
I like the confidence. I love hearing that. So, Ravens win. What's your score prediction?
I love these score predictions. As I said, it's not going to be close. I think it's going to be. They're going to definitely cover. They're favored by 10. I'm going to say. I mean, I've been throwing out some numbers this week. Ravens by 25. Ravens by 30. We're gonna beat them as bad as they beat us, if not worse. You know, look what the Cardinals just did to them. They won soundly, and I just feel like here's the prediction: we're gonna put a 37 spot on them, and they're gonna put a 10. It's gonna be 37-10 Ravens.
Oh, okay.
And we're gonna claim that number one, baby. We're gonna claim it right before the Christmas holiday.
I love it. So I
best of this Maximus to the max. You know, enjoy this one. And we're really going to ramp up the playoffs because the road to Miami, how special would that be to really get covering this on the call and something special as we always do and actually just get to be home in January? How many times have we been on the road? And I know we've been, you know, through Joe Flacco's career, we've had like 3 home playoff games total in the last 5 to 7 years. And for once, I wanted that happen here. And we're right on the cusp of something special for the Ravens fans in general. You know, it not only having home field and getting a divisional game, but if we can get that title game here, Brandon, I talked to Philly fans in 17 when they were the one seed and had home field in the NFC playoffs. And just to know what it means to have a title game. I mean, hey, I know you were down there in the thick of things for the parade and all that, and I know some people went to Stanley Cup final, and it's awesome. But this is the closest thing Ravens can get to enjoying a title with the team at their home stadium or home field or home arena. I mean, you know, I know the Capitals didn't win it on their home ice, but how crazy is it that you finally get a Stanley Cup final game in D.C. and the crowd's going crazy and you actually get to go to one of those things? And the Nationals just had it in Washington. You know, you have a home World Series game and you know, unfortunately all the road teams, that was a crazy scenario. All the road teams won it, so the Nationals won it away. But, you know, having an AFC title game in Baltimore, it means everything to anybody who's anybody a Ravens fan, because of all the times you rooted and you finally get to be that close. And just imagine the road gets that easier. You see the Patriots do all the time, Brandon. It's they have the week off. Because you already got the bye week, so it's like a free pass the division around easily. And then you play one game, and you're with him. You win that game, and then you're with him one of the Super Bowl. You win two home games, you're in the Super Bowl. It's not that hard. So it's like, you know, I know the Ravens have done well on the road, but with the crowd and everything and the energy, now I just feel like it's going to be something way different and way special to see this in person and to have a title game and just to think of a scenario down the road. I know I'm getting way ahead of it, right? But because nothing's been won yet. But just I'm talking scenarios, nothing about, you know, wrong by that, talking fantasy and scenarios in general. But just to know that, you know, the Savory Ravens championship win, to see it actually live and not going the road, the Ravens know that they have the whole city supporting them, riding there, and the Ravens haven't faltered. They haven't flinched since week four, and I don't think why stop now. I think that the Browns are just another rumble in the road, but I think the Ravens just they break right through all barriers, and they prove why they have 12 Pro Bowlers. They prove why they won 10 in a row. Why they boast the NFL's best record heading in the week 16 at 12-2. No one got any better record in the NFL, and just the Ravens are riding so high right now. You just got to ride the wave, buckle up, and just enjoy it, man. This has been awesome.
It really has, and it's been fun to cover the Ravens again as a podcaster. We had a couple rough years there where we didn't really know what to expect, but hey, this is a lot of fun. It's great to have this team doing so well. So,
what's your prediction, man?
I also see the Ravens winning this game, and I think they might actually hit 52 points this time around. I think the defense has something, you know, like I said, the Browns have something to prove that it wasn't a fluke the first time around, but I think the defense of the Ravens have an even bigger point to prove that it was a fluke and this was just a one-off and they're not going to lose to Cleveland. So I think the Ravens are going to win. I'm going to say 52 to 13. That's what I'll say.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome score. I love the 52.
52. Absolutely. And I do believe we are going to see RG3. All right. Well, this has been a good show so far. So, Josh, have we covered everything for the call this week?
It's been a great show. And no, we actually haven't covered everything.
Oh, what else we got?
We got plenty, man. Man, you're just so hasty. So hasty. I know you got You got Christmas dinner cooking. I know you do. And I know you got presents to wrap. I'm sure you're behind, right?
I got so much to do. I got Elf and Home Alone to watch as well.
Oh, yeah. I've already watched Elf. I need to watch my Home Alone and my traditions there, too. And then got Christmas Vacation. You can forget that. Is that your what's your go-tos? I know you mentioned Elf and Home Alone. Is that your go-to movies?
Those are really good. Polar Express is another good one. It's a Wonderful Life, though. That's the one I've been watching since I was a kid.
That's our family tradition, too, on Christmas Eve. That's awesome.
Christmas Eve, watch that. And when no spoilers if you haven't seen it, which if you haven't seen it, what's the matter with you? But, I mean, that's one of the only movies that I still – makes me cry like a little baby at the end every time.
Oh, really? That's so special.
I know, right?
So special, Brandon. They're even just adding to the flavor with the Festivus Maximus and what we're doing here for the playoff run. It's just been magical, just enjoying every minute of it. But I hope everybody else has a great holiday. But wanted to close up the show with a couple things we wanted to talk about is – you mentioned you want to talk Spygate. I really wanted to dive into that because obviously the Patriots can't stay out of their own way and stay out of the news. But want to hear your take. I know you were chomping at a bit to discuss this, and then we have another topic to discuss after that before we close out the show. What's your take? I know you said you watched the video. What you got for me about Spygate number two?
So after watching this video that came out on Fox over the weekend, I actually have more questions than I did before. So the whole story is with Spygate 2 is that the Patriots do a web series about, I think it's called like What's Your Job or Behind the Job, something about what people do for the Patriots that, you know, you don't really see on screen very often. So they hire, they have someone go around and follow certain employees and talk about what they do for a living through a week of the season. So it's a pretty cool concept. I get it. So this videographer followed an advanced scout. The advanced scout goes to games credentialed by the NFL of the team that the Patriots were going to face in the future, is going to see the Bengals. Now, this videographer got caught by Bengals security filming the sidelines and the substitutions of the Bengals. Now, here's, if you listen to this video, the guy's like, I don't see your advanced scout in this shot. I don't see this. I don't see that. The guy said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I wasn't allowed to film that. I'm sorry. I had no idea. And the guy said, oh, the damage is done. And he goes, no, it's not. I can delete it right now. All right. So here's my questions. The videographer that was hired to do this, is he a Patriots employee or was he a contracted employee from outside, contracted by the Patriots? I was a part of a company at one point who was in charge of producing a video for a different company. So I did not work for this specific company that was putting the videos out. So could this have literally been a guy hired by the Patriots to film stuff, do this little documentary series? Maybe this guy has no idea what he can and can't film. Maybe he doesn't know. Literally, maybe it was an innocent mistake. Oh, I didn't know I couldn't film that. I'm sorry. Because in this documentary, the advanced scout could say like, oh, look, they just did this, they just did that. The videographer is going to want B-roll to cover up that soundbite. So he may have just been getting shots of the Bengal sideline. But the guy apparently recorded the sideline for 8 minutes. This video that he's shooting is probably 4 minutes max of what is your job or whatever. So to get 8 minutes of the same shot, that's a little suspicious to me. But could this have just literally been a guy who doesn't know the rules of the NFL because he's not an NFL employee? So I'm wondering if that's the case. Now, the 8 minutes, that's a bit rough and that's a lot. However, again, This security guard was taking video of the monitor that was set up on a stand next to the camera. Now, just because that is on the monitor doesn't mean the kid or the videographer was recording the entire time. He can set up a shot and just leave it there if it's stable, hit the record button for 30 seconds and then turn it off. Doesn't mean he turns off the power to the camera.
Good point. Yeah.
So was,
I mean, you know that for being in the business, right. You definitely know that for setting up. I remember on our lab, the location shots, right? There's always time you're not recording a little bit. Yeah.
Right. So could the security guard have been watching this guy for 8 minutes, but was that guy rolling? So
it all seems fishy because it's like, it seemed like the guy that, if you hear the audio dialogue, it didn't seem like the security guard was like that mad about it. Like, they were just having a casual conversation. Like, to me, I watched it a few times, and to me, it's like, you would think if you get caught in trouble, you would hear, like, stop rolling now, and you know, maybe, like, the video cuts off short, and there's an argument. It's like they're going back and forth. Like, and other than the words on the bottom of the screen, I don't know who was talking, but it just sounds too casual.
Right. So, something about this is definitely intriguing to me. I want to know, is this a Patriots employee or is this a third-party contracted employee? Because maybe he didn't know what he was doing. Was he rolling for a full 8 minutes? The guy was like, hey, the damage is done. And then he said, well, I can just delete that clip. He could have deleted it. Now, there are ways of bringing footage and that kind of stuff back if a card were to get corrupted, sure. But was he rolling that entire time? Just blaming the Patriots blindly and saying that they're cheating. They've done it plenty of times in the past, but I feel as if they would have done it a little bit stealthier than getting a credentialed videographer in the booth with an advanced scout and then setting up a tripod, a camera, and a monitor and just letting it roll where anyone can see it. That doesn't seem like, if you're going to cheat and spy, you're going to do it with like a phone. You're going to do it with something you can kind of hide in your pocket. You're not going to set up a big rig and take shots like that and let the entire room see what you're doing. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know. There's a lot more moving parts than just that one video that Fox showed us. So I think there's something else going on. I don't know if the Patriots actually cheated. So I want to hear what the NFL has to say investigation wise. But for me, I'm not positive it was they're cheating. You know, throw them out, throw the book at them, because I don't know if they were.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to be a part of the investigation, right? And we talked before before this all happened about penalties and whatnot, and you know, postseason banment and you know, banishment and draft picks docked and fines. I mean, that's all been speculated and discussed. I guess whenever the NFL gets around to doing this, I don't know when the investigation is going to end or even a verdict is going to come down on it. But I mean, it's just not a good look, like you said. If it's true or not, whether it happens, you know, officially on the Patriots payroll or officially known by them, it's not a good look for them anyway because of everything that goes on with them. It just seems like this is another thing that they're doing. And then it's almost like on Patriot, like you really need to take film with the Bengals. Like I could see if they were doing that to the Chiefs,
but the reason
for so, the Bengals
supposedly like, the reason they're doing it with the Bengals is because it's a new coach and they don't know the strategy he has. So that's what a lot of people are saying. That's why they were cheating. It was someone that they didn't know yet. They hadn't faced him before, I guess.
I don't know. It's just another thing, but. Great viewpoint on that. I definitely and have a lot of questions more after watching it. Like, you know, you're right. Like, and I kind of wholeheartedly agree with you because it's, you know, all these more questions. Like, you already had questions before and you watched it. You're like, okay, what about this? What about that? Like you point out, like the, excuse me, the camera being on the tripod being filmed and nothing. And you don't know if it was rolling the whole time. You don't know how long he was filming. You don't know what exactly. It just was, again, but the whole thing's really fishy. It doesn't look well for him. And I guess we'll find out soon enough. But until then, you know, there's no punishment at this point. So I guess stay tuned on that. And moving from Spygate to Suggsgate. We had Terrell Suggs come back up in the news this past week when he was surprisingly, didn't see this coming, being released from the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, the team that he not only turned the Ravens offer down to go back home. The Cardinals actually released him. He went on waivers. It was speculated that what would, you know, the Ravens could get him. The Ravens couldn't get him because how waivers go, if you're familiar with this on fantasy football, when any team tries to put a claim in for a player, it goes by a worst record at that time. So the Ravens obviously having the best record. They were dead last, number 32, just like the NFL draft would be if they win it all. You know, they're the 32nd pick in the draft, and the team who has the worst record is the first pick. That's how it goes. Go based on record because obviously you suck that year. So at that point, the teams who actually put a claim in were four teams. It was four playoff contenders. It was Seattle, New Orleans, there's not 49ers and the Chiefs in a particular order, but because the Chiefs have the worst record of those four, they were actually first. So they look at what the NFL does is they look at any team would claim him. Even the Ravens could put a claim in for him, but they would be last. Like Harbaugh even said it in the press conference, it wouldn't make sense to because they are 12-2. They wouldn't have a shot. They could put the claim in, but it's like, why waste the time? Because they're not going to get him anyway. So, the Giants could have put a claim in for him and they would have gotten him first, or even the Redskins because they have all the worst records. So, but they didn't. So of the four teams that did, there are only four teams that did it out of the 32 teams. And of those four, the Chiefs were the worst record of the four. They landed Suggs. So all be all, Terrell Suggs is not a Raven again. He is a Chief. I know a lot of fans are up in arms. I was disappointed as I like to see. I wanted to see a scenario with Suggs coming in here for one last ride, kind of riding the coattails of Lamar and this team to another title. I don't think, you know, would we have used the services? It's not like we miss him, right? Because we're 12-2 without him and balling out. But I think it would have been a part-time situation because he was only owed a couple $100,000, like $200,000 or $300,000 for the remainder of the year. Wouldn't have hurt us on the books. It would have been nice to have another veteran back. And Brandon, regardless of what team he plays for this year, next year, he's a Raven for life. He played 16 years here. Blood, sweat, and tears. Got the title in 2012. He was 2011 Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. First ballot could be an argument when it comes up. He's going to be in the welcome back in the Ravens Ring of Honor. When he does retire from the NFL fully, he's going to get that one-day contract, retire as a Raven, just like they all do. Even Jared Johnson came back and did it. Even Julio Nada came back and did it. So enough, you know. I get it. Fans are upset, but he wasn't going to come here. It would have been it would have had to just the stars right the line and everything would have. Come on, like. Again, I get it. It's a business move. Whether the Chiefs did it to block us from getting him, I don't know. There's speculation of whether Suggs would refuse to report. It was first reported by Adam Schefter of ESPN that he would refuse to play for his new team. He would either just hold out or sit out if it was any team other than the Ravens claimed him. And then now, since he got claimed by the Chiefs, it was now being reported that he's going to report and show up and play. And I don't blame him, right? It's a playoff contender. He's playing on the same team, Patrick Mahomes. No different than if he would have been here still. Lamar Jackson, obviously a way better quarterback this year. But, again, he's on a playoff contender, and if all works out, we got a reunion in week two. We barely heard his name in week two when he was with the Cardinals, and we might get another scenario where it's a division or a title game here in Baltimore against the Chiefs and number third crack at it for Lamar against that team. Maybe Suggs comes back on another homecoming on the other side, and maybe we get to ruin their title chances and we get to go to the ultimate prize game in Super Bowl 54. But it remains to be seen what happens. I'd like to hear your take real quick before we head out on the Suggs situation. I, for one, would have been fun. But I understand it. But it wasn't going to happen. It was a long shot.
You know, this time of year, the last couple of years with Suggs, he hasn't really been that impressive. I mean, he's had maybe 4 weeks in the beginning of the season where he looks great, and then he kind of, you know, doesn't do the greatest. So, yes, I would have loved to have seen Suggs back rooting on this team. But I'd rather see it on the sidelines. Or in the stands, NWO style, where he comes and sits at the 50-yard line with a ticket and some popcorn. That's how I would have enjoyed it. I would love to have had Suggs in the locker room with some of that leadership that we kind of lost when he left. But as far as on the field, I don't think it was a necessity for this team going forward to get Terrell Suggs back. So I would love to have seen it. Like you said, I think he's going to retire a Raven potentially maybe next year. Who knows? And who knows? We might see him across the field. But yeah, he said, I'm going to refuse to play for anybody but the Ravens. You know, money talks. And when somebody picks you up and you get to make a little bit of money, and of course, these guys are going to be going to the playoffs and you get a chance to play in the playoffs where you weren't for Arizona, then yeah, you're going to show up and you're going to play. You're going to do everything you can to go to another Super Bowl. So we'll see Suggs in purple once again. It just won't be this week.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Good take. It's like thanks, but no thanks. And, it was fun to talk about. I think it was more for nostalgia purposes. Like, hey, we can have him come back for one last ride, number two, like red. I get it. Would it been fun? Yeah, it would have been fun. But not to be a dead horse, but again, it would have been really tough to do in the scenario the Ravens were in. But it was an interesting scenario. Had us talking for a couple of days and wishing well. But, we do wish the Ravens well as we head into this matchup against Cleveland. And Brandon, with that ado, I think we can close this out with a hearty quote the Raven, nevermore. I think we covered everything.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at Italian GQ52. Big trust.
That's big trust.
Handle, but big trust.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, there's always something Ravens going on that we like to share. Like, I don't know if you guys are locals here or not, or if you heard, but there is a Ravens pop-up store in Canton Crossing. From now until Christmas, they are promising to have Lamar Jackson jerseys. You guys got to let me know if that's true or not, but they're supposed to have exclusive merch for you last minute Christmas shoppers. So check that out. And maybe, I don't know, I'm pretty booked the rest of the week, but maybe Josh or I will get down there and share some pictures. So check out our Facebook page to do that. So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this weekend. This is the last show of 2019. That's why you gotta check out us on Facebook. We'll be doing some Facebook lives until the new year.
We're gonna celebrate that one seed, baby, on Facebook.
That's right. We will be back in 2020. Facebook Live party. but we will be back in 2020 with some perfect vision of the playoffs. So make sure you stay subscribed to the podcast feed. We will be back. But Josh, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hope you have a great new year. I will talk to you in 2020. Take us out of this year and this past decade in Ravens football. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. And ready for another edition of karaoke real quick?
Oh, boy.
Come on, baby.
You better not cry.
But not pout. I'm telling you why. I know that people don't want
to
hear me.
Lamar is coming to town.
Oh, yeah.
Lamar is coming to town.
You know what else coming to town is this number one seed, baby.
Yeah.
We're going to do it Jackson 5 style. I think it'd be crazy to see him throw another five touchdowns on Sunday and aerial assault, but I think the ground and pound game's in order, as we covered on the show. Baltimore Ravens are going to really bring this number one rushing attack, and all the 12 Pro Bowlers and the whole 53-man roster, the money men of Baltimore, are just going to come and just wreak havoc in Cleveland. Leave no doubt. As my dad always says, leave no doubt. And I think you're going to leave no doubt here on Sunday and just prove to everybody with an 11 straight win to say, hey, you know what? Let's just keep the party going. Festivus Maximus. And just what else can they – what else are they capable of? And but we got one more goal before the big goal. And if we can put everything together and have a team effort in Cleveland to just really come out with a number one seed, the opportunity to really do something special here for the city of Baltimore, and just the way this team is playing, why not? Why not us? And like Harbaugh always says, who's got it better than us? Nobody. And I'm telling you right now, nobody's got it better than the Baltimore Ravens squad. Big trust. NFL MVP, like Ingram said, you have a problem with that, come see him at the bank about that. Everything about this team you got to love. And I'm going to give a shout out real quick before we go. Brandon, how about a shout out to Lamar's Era 8 apparel? They're selling out of everything. The hoodie that I wanted to grab this week, the pressure hoodie that he wore, it's sold out within minutes. The kid is just everything he touches turns to gold, whether it's, you know, playing on the field and his antics and just his leadership. And now with his apparel company, man, just blessings all around, man. That's something to behold. And I don't know if you've gotten anything from his website, Brandon, but his swag is awesome, man. I'm wearing it right now. His the Wild Dog hoodie. You got nice. The Wild Dog, yeah. So I got my hands on that earlier this year. And it's one of my favorites. And I'm hoping to get the pressure hoodie as they come back in stock, maybe for the playoff run. But they are hot items, hot swag. This team is red hot. And we're just going to go up in Cleveland. And whether it's snowing or I don't know what the weather is going to be up there on the lake. But let's go back to city of Cleveland and where we came from. And let's give it to them. Let's give it to them good, just like they did us, if not worse. And just showing why we're the mightier team. And hey, for week four, it was a long time ago, and this team means business, and Cleveland's in our way. And let's just dispose of them like we always do. Everybody with me in Cleveland, number one seed on the line, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.